Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everybody. It is Sunday. It's a live edition of the main course, unless you're listening to this as a repeat. I am very excited to have Liz in studio with us again.
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming. Now, Liz is the executive chef, the head butcher of Bubby's. But most of all, she is the master of a craft, cutting down animals. So we're going to talk about all these horrible kitchen story nightmares.
Terrible.
But first, I got to talk about something good, because this is going to be terrifying, these stories that Liz tells us. These are nightmares. I mean, you will probably poop your pants if you're listening to this right now. So you might want to turn the volume up and go straight to the bathroom, because these are going to be some crazy kitchen stories. First, I do want to say something about our... You better start making stuff up, because that was a big intro. It's going to be hard for you to know, but these are amazing stories. And by the way, we had a very successful show a couple weeks ago with Shauna, who told some kind of things that stress the kitchen out, you know, like parties of 15 people and you find out that they're all vegans or raw foodists. But I do want to say something about our sponsor, S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. I just kind of excited about this. I got this email from Keith, their head of sales. Just wanted to let you know your name is on the list for one of the four-year-aged hams. I've attached some photos. Info as follows. Sea salt cured for 32 days, hickory smoked for 7, aged for a full 4 years.
Where do they store that?
In Virginia, you know, his big ham curing facility. This stuff is truly amazing. So I am very, very excited. We're going to split it 9 ways at the office. And you got to try a piece, Liz.
Oh, of course.
Well, let's start. So we have this interesting theme. Just contextualize, you know, the kind of dynamic in the kitchens that you've worked at. So as you tell us these stories, you know, we can understand where they're coming from.
Well, first off, usually kitchens are small. They're like closets, and you put out around like 250 to 300 covers a night in these small little boxes where, you know, in one night, only people are just like stuck in one position, so they can't even like go, and there's no room to like go downstairs and do this and that. So there's a lot of hecticness and, you know, just being in one spot and position. And it's very, very fast anxiety driven profession, but you kind of get like a high off of it, you know. You get like this adrenaline type thing going when you get that flow. It's, and everybody's in sync. It's really, it's a very zen state.
Now that's very, very hard to reach flow, because if you're too anxious, you're stressed out. And if things are too slow, you get bored. Flow is that exact line where you're not too anxious, but not too bored. And you come in and out of it, because if a 10 top comes, you get anxious. And then, you know, if
a lot of anticipation.
It's out of your hands. But now you're not like the Pavlov dog experiment where you don't know what's coming, right? You're the one that knows what's basically coming, because you can predict.
Yes, you can predict. You kind of get this intuition where you start realizing like, all right, tonight is going to get really busy. How many reservations are on the book? It'll be like 2 o'clock on Saturday or on Friday. And it's like, oh, no, we only have like a 4 top you know, this top. Then at 6 or 5:30, then it's like, oh, you know, if I don't go to the hostess or someone goes to the hostess, it's like, you know, there's like, oh, this 10 top is coming in, 15 top. And there's, you know, communication is a key to a restaurant. But to, you know, it's funny because where I work, our communication, we are working on it, but it kind of plays like telephone. And, you know, that's when it gets like a little hairy and then shit hits the fan.
So by the time it gets to you, you're like, already, a two-top return their pork chop. But in reality, what they said is, you know, Bill Clinton is coming in with his family.
Yeah, it's... I'm just like thinking in my head of like all of like, you know, just it all hits at once. And you kind of do troubleshooting and protocol. And I'm trying really hard to be one step ahead of like, you know, before like the disaster is like all over everybody. So you have to really, you know, do protocol and damage control as fast.
But this is a cue for Joe. You can't always predict what's going to happen in the kitchens. So let's start unveiling the theme of the show. Tell us some... Let's start with, like, severe burns, cutting. I mean, anything like that. I mean, it's dangerous in there. Steaming hot ovens and knives, bandsaws.
You know... I'll say when I started a couple of years ago, it was brunch. I was cutting a big block of cheese, and the knife kicked back and it kind of cut my wrist area. And because of me knowing that I can't get off the line or go to the hospital, what I did, stupid me, is tape like some like, you know, seafold towel and electrical tape around my wrist. Meanwhile, you know, I had to brunch, you know, I had to do it and I couldn't do anything about it. So
were you bleeding on the food?
It was a clean cut, but like I said, I mean, it's disgusting to put a seafold towel on like a big gaping gash and electrical tape around it.
Man.
And then after brunch, going to the emergency room to get it taken care of. And two years ago, the same thing happened. I was butchering and I cut my forearm and I wrapped it up because it's Friday. I need to cut these pigs. I can't go, you know, so I pretty much cut myself and then go to the hospital and then get yelled at the nurses while they scrub it out.
Because, yeah, you're putting your, did you make the cut worse because you worked?
Well, sometimes, I mean, the last time I cut, it was a gash that they're like, oh, I think that the skin is aquatic. It might not grow back because you waited 12 hours. And I'm like, whatever.
You're like, I didn't need
it
anyway.
And they're like, what were you cutting? And I was like, pig. And they're like, oh, you ever heard of swine flu? And I was like, no, honey, I know where my pigs come from. And they're like, it doesn't matter, you stupid.
Now, I once cut off a whole section of my finger because I was cutting a salami on a slicer, and my hand slid down this greasy salami right into the slicer.
That's disgusting.
And I cut off, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it was right above my thumbnail. And I was like, very, very, very nervous. And I actually, you know, even though nothing fazes me, I have not missed a day of work for sickness or anything like that in like 15 years. But when I saw that blood popping out, I had to sit. Yeah. I literally was
went white.
My whole body started to sweat. And I was just holding it. And Silva, our 67-year-old Brazilian butcher, went to the coffee place. Got a whole handful of coffee grounds and just put it over the cut.
Oh, yeah, to cauterize it.
And held it for like 2 or 3 minutes. And then when he lifted his hand up, there was still some blood shooting out in one of the spots. So he got more and put it on.
Yeah.
And it basically preserved it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. That was good. I made that story longer because that was like the psycho driving music.
Yeah.
Where she's stolen the money. Now she's driving. She's going to get her comeuppance.
I will say that slicers are so dangerous, and they are dangerous when you actually clean them. You know, I try to teach people, like, you have to have respect for this equipment, because if you're not thinking, it will cut you, and you will suffer.
Well, Joe, if you could play some music and you tell us what happened to you when you were doing a little stage at the meat shop.
So my story here is that a long weekend, President's Day weekend, I'm working at the Heritage Meat Shop, and on the last day of the weekend, I'm using the bandsaw to cut up ham bones for someone who wants to give them to their dog, I believe.
Their dog, not even a human.
Yeah. Not even a... So...
Lame.
You're giving yourself all the good music. leave a song for us.
This is a dramatic story, Patrick.
Sorry.
So I'm cutting through the bones. I'm feeling like a pro on the bandsaw, and I try to move one little bit of bone out of the way, and the blade is still on, and my finger hits it for about a millisecond, goes through my fingernail into my finger, and I had a similar green experience as Patrick. I had to go sit in the walk-in cooler because I was sweating so much while my associate Kieran at the meat shop called 911 and had to get my hand stitched up. And
how many stitches?
I don't even know because I didn't want to look and I didn't ask. But
I do know that it couldn't have been more stitches than the number of disability benefit letters we've gotten from the New York State government since then. Mm-hmm. We get, like, every week we get something about Joe's finger. We're like, I mean, it's good. That's why you have workman's comp and all these things. Mm-hmm. But it was very, very bad.
It was pretty gross, and I kept getting infected, and you know, I had to wash it out all the time. I kept going to the doctor, but... Hey, it's working now. I can move the faders here in the radio station.
There's nothing worse than affected stitches. That is just, it's nasty. It's worse than just the when you cut it, you know, because you have to do it all over again.
So now those are, you know, kind of stories. I mean, ever burn stories at the coffee shop? I mean, essentially, you're working with extremely hot things. I mean, you one false move by an inch or two and you could have, you know, scalded your hand or whatever. But mm-hmm. now let's start to get into some of the other kind of nightmares, like maybe more personality driven nightmares and mm-hmm. crazy stories you've heard about in the industry and the bowels, underground kitchens of New York City restaurants.
The bowels would be the grease trap overflowing. You ever smelled what grease trap is? It's disgusting. It's like death, and it farted.
Fart. Death farts. Wow.
Yes, death now, farts.
What is in that grease trap?
So the grease trap is a big tank that when you're all the sinks and the dishwasher's running, all that oil will drop, mm-hmm. and it will collect, and it will be like a big cake, you know, nasty, just grease, and it looks kind of gray and alive, you know. It will... Yeah, it's just it's really a nasty concoction of weeks worth of food. Yeah,
because it goes weeks, right?
It goes well.
Joe, it goes weeks.
But because we are so busy, we get them you know, clean once a week. And actually, last weekend, one of the grease traps overflowed into the office, while the system, the new computer system, crashes at the same time. So there's always something that there's this great spirit, and every chef will tell you that when one thing goes, another thing will go. It will go in threes because it's like they're all like, you know, little great spirits, and it's like kind of they sync up and just fuck you, you know, just fuck you at the wrong time. It's just like, really, right now you got to do this.
It does kind of make you believe in karma and stuff.
The spirits of equipment. I mean, the Japanese talk about it. It is so true. I mean...
I had two terrible things happen to me on Thursday, and then I was like, maybe they don't come in threes. It's 11:50. I'm only 10 minutes away from mm-hmm. the rest of the day. I'm just going to go to the car and drive home. And the car had been towed. And Anne was very, very nice. She came to the car pound. Even little Max was happy. Now, car pounds can be very dangerous places.
Yeah.
Nothing happened to me that day. But I do remember a terrible time standing in line for 4 or 5 hours. But that was back in like the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Yeah, things happen in threes. So, yeah, one of those tanks just overflowed. And who do you pay someone to come and clean it? We always have that problem at the meat shop.
Yes.
When that stench starts to hit,
yeah,
you have to do something about it. We pay someone to come in.
We pay someone to come in, too. The problem was usually we would do it every other week, every 2 weeks. I have two grease traps. There's one that was in the back of the office. That one does not really, overflow ever. So I think it was a clogging situation. We had an extraordinary busy, busy week of Easter. I mean, it was insane the amount of covers. We did like 5,000, covers in that week. Busy. So the busier it is, the more that, equipment is stressed, and it happens.
So tell us one of them. Get into a real horror story, something crazy that you can share.
And, it does involve in a grease trap. So I was upstate working at a restaurant. I was there for probably a good 5 years. It was around July 4th weekend, and all of a sudden the vents just shut down. I have no ventilation. The belts just snapped, and it was July 4th, so you have no ventilation in the kitchen. So that sucked in the heat of very crazy. So the next day, of course, it always happens on Sunday fucking brunch, Not only do I have the vents because no one can come out, on the weekend, it's a holiday, they have to order the vents, no ventilation, I have fans everywhere. The grease trap overflows, causing sewage to go up into the dish. I can't run the dishwasher. I mean, I had fecal matter in the bottom of this basement. It was so gross.
Keep the music.
It was
so
gross. I mean, fecal, it was like matter. Fecal matter, disgusting. I looked to the boss.
I'm like, no ventilation.
No, you cannot run any of the dishes. You have to hand, clean. I have to just get what I have to get done out. For me, I said, shut it down. Shut it down.
Yeah.
Close the restaurant. I am so sorry. You cannot do it. But the worst part is you have your bosses that's like, oh, it's not so bad. Just get it. just get it done, Liz. I have every faith in you and every confidence, that you can get this done. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You want me to serve food while there's poo going on, like floating around?
That can't be good.
That is just, always wondered, terrible.
If people don't need in the bathroom, because bad stuff happens in the bathroom. But like when you poo, doesn't get on the food somehow? I mean, I don't know what. Can air contaminate food? Like, can poo
air?
I
believe it, yes.
Something's
That's just
going
it's in the
on.
Air. It's foul. I mean, even with like the grease trap, you don't want that in the air because it's just like that stench, it's toxic.
But is poo in the area affect? This is a Dave Arnold question. Does it affect the food? Does it touch the food essentially?
I think that once it's exposed and it's not in the freaking toilet and it's not around water. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Poo is basically touching the food.
Yes.
So they pushed you to do this.
They
huh?
pushed me to do it. So then right then and there, I said, you know what, Bruce and Scott, go fuck yourself.
You're
and
like,
I sent
gonna
everybody.
Finish my shift.
Yeah. I sent everybody home except for one person. We got it out.
Uh-huh.
I went home. I told my parents. They were freaking pissed off. They were like 2 seconds away of driving their ass down there and be like, who
kicking
the fuck do
ass.
You think you are, doing that. And I did. I left that job in tears and, they just didn't even realize it. Like that detachment of being such an asshole, of just not realizing that you're putting us at risk and you're putting your customers at risk, but you just want the numbers because it's so, mm-hmm. busy and, nothing will shut it down. So, what happened? Someone found out, called the health department.
Was it
went
you?
Down there. No, it wasn't.
Was it mommy or daddy?
No, it wasn't mommy or daddy. It was actually a customer because they were smelling like the wafting smell of it. Mind you, it is a hot, weekend that is going to travel, and they had someone down there inspecting the wall. They had to scrub out everything. They lost me. And they didn't realize until, like, you know, how devastating. And those shoes that I was working in, I remember this. Those shoes that I was working was outside on my parents' porch. And they disintegrated. They, like, fell apart. So what I did is I tied my shoes. I went over there and I fucking just put them on the front door just to show them. Mm. Like, you know, this dismantled rubber, not cool, dude. Not cool.
Well, it was funny. You were knee-deep in shit, and that made you not give a shit.
Yeah.
You just walked out.
You don't do that.
You don't do
that. You don't do that. You know, that's just, that's cruel.
Do you know what I would have done? I would have opened a barbecue, just started with charcoal outside, and just been like, we only have one thing. Cheeseburgers. Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a very short break, and we are going to come back and hear more about kitchen stories.
Yes.
Horror stories.
Nightmares.
With Liz.
Listening to Basilica by The Hollows on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Next time you step up for the intention, remember most the great distinction between your life and the stories told about the deeds that made you know. Oh, thou shatter me, sweep me up into your head. The seeds upon your lands, over me now, let me wear your golden crown. So when I meet Saint Peter, I don't let you down. I'm rich in heart, but poor at prose. I teach you to rhyme, but nobody grows. A slap in the mouth and a push off a cliff. Sit on the sea and let yourself drift. Break my grief and pull me out of a heartbreak hole, but leave some doubt about the good that you can do for me. Ain't nothing free. Oh, shatter me, sweep me up into your hands, and scatter me with the seeds upon your lands. All burn me down, let me wear your golden crown. So when I meet Saint Peter, I don't let you down. Porter, I can teach you a rhyme about three nickels and a shiny dime. Break me a dollar, I can give you a clue about the change coming back to you.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
All right. Well, we're back with Liz, the head butcher, head chef of Bubby's. Where else have you worked in your past? Just to fire off the names.
The farm on Adderley.
Okay, that's way out by
down other side of the park. Road.
Mm-hmm.
then I've done a lot of restaurants upstate, the Rosendale Cement Company in Rosendale, the Locust Tree in New Paul's, Dragonfly Grill up in Woodstock.
Very, very interesting. So the theme
of
today's show?
Kitchen horror stories.
Kitchen nightmares.
That
can include
everything,
including the most celebrated, expands across all cultures and socioeconomic groups, holiday of the year.
Thanksgiving.
Everyone is all happy about their turkey, but as we all know, when you have to deliver, 18-pound turkeys into the back of a restaurant one day a year, kind of an opportunity for some horror, some crazy shit. So, do you have a Thanksgiving story for us, Liz?
Yes. Well, stories. I'm just thinking in the past of fires. So,
fire.
Turkey fat.
Better sit down for this one, Joe.
Plus ovens equals fire. God, I mean, we put so much effort and thought and we want it to make it important. Anybody that's like working in a restaurant, especially when someone is going out to pay all this money, you want to make it perfect because it's important, it's a celebration. And I always loved, I still do. I like working for big events and holidays because I make the best of it. It sucks that I can't be there, with my parents and my family and my friends. If I'm working, I'm going to do the best job that I can.
Because you're going to make other people's holiday meals be perfect.
Exactly. And that's, I just try to install that in everybody and there is bad attitudes like, oh, I got to work on the holiday. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, we're here together. We got to make it the best. Let's go and hit a home run. Mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. Enough bitching. Let's hit a home run. So
we need hard bodies.
So one year, we did the whole three seating, blah, blah, blah thing. And I remember I was in charge of making a goat cheese beet terrine, beautiful.
Beet first color blood.
Colorful beets with whipped goat cheese and a terrine and layer. So it's really beautiful. Me, I'm the stupido that does not... that puts it in the freezer but don't put it out. So while we're trying to plate it up, the chef is like, Liz, where's the goat cheese terrine? And I'm like, oh, it's still in the freezer. He's like, really? Really? How are we going to cut that? And I'm like, oh, fuck, So, on the fly, have to cut down some beets, go walk all the way down to the store, get some goat cheese, do it on the fly, just so no one, gets disrupted and say, oh, hey, wait, we don't have that goat cheese terrine.
Nah.
My bad. He was so mad at me that I knew that he was just going to yell at me later. Because at that moment, if he was going to yell at me, it was not going to happen.
He wasn't going to get his full zing with
which I still, to this day, that's my fuck up. I will say, oh my God, what was I thinking?
You know when you've really done something wrong, when someone's like, I'm not even going to yell at her. I am going to distill everything I most hate in the world and make it through the lens of
and
her
when he's
incompetency.
Quiet, when he's quiet and he's soft-spoken, and it was just like, go to the store and get more goat cheese now. I was like, shit. And I ran.
You ran.
Cigarette in hand, It was like two blocks. I was like,
you're like, I failed you again, chef. I can't make it back.
Of course.
I'm out of breath.
So, that same day I come back, we do the goat cheese. That's fine. We're reheating the turkey breasts in the oven. And the grease, because we overpacked the oven, there was just way too much fat to a hotel pan, to a just I don't know, what would you say, like a sheet tray. It overflowed into the oven. And this is a very, very small kitchen.
This is the same day as the goat cheese?
This is a very small kitchen. You can only have two people back there, you know, when when the oven is on fire. So you have like the head chef that's just leaning over and being like, put salt on it. Put salt on it. Salt's not working. Put milk on it. Put milk on it. Yeah, well, I mean, my Israeli friend Yara, she's like, oh, put the milk on it, you know? And we're like, okay, we're trying everything. Bacon soda, it's still not going out until eventually one of the line cooks like stuck his whole freaking head, you know, like out there, like lifted the thing, but it was on fire and we lost turkeys.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So no goat cheese and no turkeys. I mean, what happened?
Well,
I did it on the fly.
The goat cheese, I saved the day. I mean, it was like, you know, people were still waiting for it, but that beats out, you know, with the whole turkey.
So how many breasts did you lose?
I think we lost two sheet trays, so that would be 8. But we're trying to serve it. We're trying to, you know, get this. You know, this is the first seating. So you can't you can't delay on the first season because then the second seating and the third season is going to be like, you know, it's a shit show. It's really, I hate that term, but it was a freaking disaster. And
this is the second shit show story you've told us.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, but the guy, the head chef, he was very calm that day.
Eerie
calm. Like, it was just like a little too calm because you knew he was gonna like freak the fuck out.
So you guys are in the locker room at the end of the shift,
drinking,
a crazy night,
drinking,
and he comes walking up to you, Liz, and you're like, man, he's gonna let
sweating,
me have it,
pounding,
just nervous, over the eyebrows, forehead,
yep,
sweating through your hat.
Mm-hmm.
T-shirt getting a little moist.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up. What does he say?
Good job, guys. Good job.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. That's terrible.
That's terrible. Oh, it's terrible. No, but we saved the day. I mean, it was bad, but it was so bad that it was just in the past and we just got it done. I mean, no one wants a fire in the oven,
and
especially like with the grease and everything on the bottom of it, you couldn't like use it. So you improvise, you find ways to get it, because, you know, you have like the people that are sitting down and enjoying their Thanksgiving. enjoying their Thanksgiving dinner
timing.
And they don't even realize, you know, like what the hell is going on, you know, like in the back.
Well, no, I mean, it is really rough. I mean, Anne always says that farmers work the hardest, and then chefs,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody else. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys are really, I mean, they get in at, you know, 9, 10 a.m. sometimes, or 2, 3 p.m., and then they are just working all the way through. So, I mean, it just seems ripe
mm-hmm.
with opportunity for, you know, just chance to screw things up, or
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know, especially if you have a lot of rushes and you know, brunch, as you say, I mean, god, you got to get everyone in and out fast. Or is brunch the opposite?
No, you want to flip that table fast.
Yeah, flip it fast. Well, take us through a final story. Do you have a story for us, maybe regarding you know, people not showing up in an important time, or personalities, fights, intrigue,
god, I mean,
espionage,
kitchens.
Tattling.
Kitchens to me is one step away from like a jail situation.
Okay. Oh!
You have like people, like, you know, you have the Latinos like in, you know, one their little group. You have the Africans in another group, and then you have like, you know, the stupid white boys, and, you know, with me, like in another group. You know, like trying to control and make everything nice.
That is hilarious.
You know, in restaurants, and everybody knows in the kitchen. High alcohol problems. I mean, barachos, no, just no showing up. And that sucks, because once you have someone that like pulls a no-show, it's like a domino effect.
Mm.
And, you know, you gotta make the best of it. And it just, it's, I mean, I really, really, really care so much for everybody that works with me. I you know, like, I individually try to manage, get to know them, know their families, and it's just, it's really sad to me when, like, I, you know, there's people that drink and they cannot function. Now, I drink, and I can function.
Mm-hmm. You're doing fine right now, and you've had a few.
No. severely hungover yesterday.
So what's the worst person you could lose? Is it someone way, you know, quote unquote low? Like, is it the dishwasher slash runner, or is it the manager slash head waiter? I mean, where does it
create
the worst
damage? Line cook, egg guy. Egg guy or a saute guy or grill guy. At Bubby's, we definitely pull 700 and plus, you know, covers in a day. Mm. When the egg saute guy doesn't show up on Saturday brunch and you only schedule to have the X amount of people, it puts a lot of high stress. I'm getting calls, and it's really, you know, you have to hire smart. You have to, you know, pay them a little bit more just so that doesn't happen. And, you know, they don't realize that. Like, there are some people that understand what working is, and they have proud, like, they're very proud, and they love what they're doing, and they wouldn't, like, do that, not pull. I've never done that ever in my life because I was just way too scared of the chefs because I just, you know, I see what happens, and but I get some of that. It's getting a lot better, trust me, but the pulling the no-show, and then they show up 2 days later and acting like nothing happened. Like, they'll be there earlier, they're doing everything better, and it's just like, come on. Like,
is there any job that only one or two people know how to do?
Yes. Yes. I mean, me, if I pulled a no-show, I don't even know.
Who would be in charge? Your number?
It would be, like, my right hand. It would be, like, a sous chef or... Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a big enough operation that for me, yes, they could do my job in like one day. But I mean, I know like all the butchering, I have an assistant. He can like, you know, take care of it. I mean, I did have to go get surgery like a couple of months ago in 3 weeks. They pulled together, and I think that people did a good job. But the first thing I came in, I noticed that, my God, this fucking kitchen is, like, not organized. Mm. Like, what did you guys do?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very, like, clean and organized, and this has a proper place, but that just falters. And I like to take pride in my kitchen of, like, you know, making everything, like, in order and, mm-hmm. and just, you know, it's you're respecting your equipment, you're respecting the food, you know, and...
It's also where things are, right? Mm-hmm. So
very
path
particular.
Of least resistance, mm-hmm. everything's within arm reach that you need.
Yep. It's
like
smart.
You don't want a 30-pound bag of flour sitting there. Yeah. Keep that downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You try to leave just enough upstairs so that you'll run out just when the shift ends.
Yes. Yes.
I learned that from Shauna Pacifico, chef of Back 40. Well, I mean, you know, hearing all these stories... horror stories has ironically kind of crazy made me feel better about myself in the kitchen because
mm-hmm.
sometimes shit's gonna hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to deal with it.
You gotta roll with it. You can't kind of sometimes when, and you can see it, people do have anxiety with the ticket machine, and it's just like constantly never ending and never ending and never ending, and you kind of see like a kitchen shutting down and not communicating. When that happens, I'm really, you know, like trying to make everybody talk, because the more talking that you have in the kitchen, the more that they're going to get it out. Once they start shutting down, that's mm-hmm. when they all individual like are not concentrating and they don't know. And they're like kind of like
yep.
doing like, you know, mistakes, and they're getting nervous and scared. And then the food looks sloppy and stuff. Like, people don't realize how much time and effort and, you know, like just thinking, like, it's, you know, when you go out to brunch, people should really, like, you know, be aware that people are busting their fucking asses.
Mm-hmm.
They're really busting their, you know, their asses. So when, like, you have, like, you know, someone that's kind of like, oh, where's my food? You know, like, oh, it's 20 minutes. Where's my food? You know, like, people.
Well, there can
like,
be a lot of restaurants where they don't care and they're like, the hell with it. But you're, are you?
And we're trying and we're trying to put out the best, you know,
yeah,
and we're
true.
Really busy, but don't be needy.
Yeah,
please.
Well, if it's a good restaurant and it's overwhelmed, yeah, don't be an annoying guest. Have a friggin' drink and relax.
Yeah, drink more on brunch.
Drink more at brunch. Well, I am very, very happy that you could come on. I mean, I feel if Liz can do it, why can't I?
Yeah.
Why can't I get in the kitchen and try new things? Yeah, I might screw it up. Yeah, I might cut off a part of my finger and set a fire to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just get back up on your feet.
You learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm. No you one's know. Perfect. We're no only one's human. Perfect.
You learn from your mistakes.
Hey, Joe, can you play that song just as a kind of reassuring song? I'm only human. What's that one? It's also in an insurance commercial now. But I think that'll be really nice. Because, I mean, I think A Horror Story was this show. People hearing this. I mean, we've gotten a lot of tweets on Facebook about people pooping their pants just hearing these crazy things, not being able to deal with the stress. So you guys are not alone.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. What's your name?
I'm Harry Styles.
What was that? I said, no. No. It's terrible. Anyway, well, thanks so much for coming. And if you want to try Liz's food, go to Bubby's in Tribeca. What is that, 120 Hudson Street?
Yep, on the corner of Northmore.
And Bubby's is famous for pies and recipes, mm-hmm. and doing big events there. It's open 24 hours.
It is open 24 hours except for Monday night.
So that's the only time when you're not working Monday night, the rest of the 24 hours
I should just get a cot and you know, live in the office underneath the computer.
I agree. Well, thank you so much. I want to thank Joe for pioneering another episode of The Main Course, starring me, Patrick Martins. Thanks so much, Joe. And we have, remember, we are a membership organization. So pay $60 or $120 and you are supporting more interesting stories. The light side, but also the dark side.
Dark side.
Stay tuned for Straight No Chaser, which is a horror show in and of itself, starring Katie Kiefer.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.